Welcome to the 23 Minutes in Hell podcast. Author and speaker Bill Weiss and his wife Annette address the many questions we all have about hell and eternity. Bill and Annette believe the subject of hell shouldn't grip us with fear, but instead, it should inspire us to use our time on earth wisely.
Thank you for listening to my wife and I. Today, we are addressing the question, do Christians follow God because they fear hell? Well, yes, that's one reason. And listen to what Jesus said in Luke 12, 4 and 5. He said, "And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more they can do. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him who after he is killed has power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." So Jesus just told us we should fear him. And there are many verses in the Bible that instruct us to fear God. 2 Corinthians 5:10 and 11 says, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." Now, even though that scripture is talking about the reward seat for Christians, most of the commentaries agree that it's also talking about judgment and hell in general. So when we understand judgment and hell in general, we will be more persuasive with men. And as Christians, we share the way of salvation with as many people as possible so they can choose to escape the judgment to come. The terror of the Lord is a reality because Jesus Christ will be the judge at Judgment Day and will sentence people to hell. In addition, this verse indicates that Christians fear God because he holds us accountable if we do not share the way of salvation with others. And that's also supported by Acts 20:26, Acts 18:6, Ezekiel 3:18, and Ezekiel 33:8.
That's good, Bill. You know, in that first verse in Luke 12, I mean, that's really clear, Jesus saying, we fear God because he can throw us into hell.
That's right.
I mean, right? That's really clear. You know, the Believer's Bible Commentary, also on page 1839, says, quote, "This verse," speaking of the one you just said in 2 Corinthians 5:10 and 11, "this verse is commonly taken to mean that since Paul was aware of God's terrible judgment on sin and the horrors of hell, he went everywhere seeking to persuade men to accept the gospel."
Quote. That's good. Very clear.
And also, I love what David writes in Psalms 119:120. He said, "My flesh trembles for fear of thee. I am afraid of thy judgments." So David was aware of the future judgment and feared it to the point of avoiding sin. He writes in also Psalms 4:4, "Stand in awe and sin not." So just standing in awe of God, who he is, almighty, and all his power, you know,
right.
We want to not sin.
Exactly.
And then, of course, Jude 23 says that some are saved by fear, pulling them out of the fire.
That's right. So some will only get saved by having a fear of hell. So yes, we serve him with a reverential fear and respect because he is almighty, eternal, infinitely powerful God who created the universe. Psalms 33:8 says, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him."
Oh, that's great. I love that. And when also, Bill, Ananias and Sapphira dropped dead for lying, it says, "Great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things." And that was in Acts chapter 5, verse 11.
That's right. You know, I can distinctly remember two separate occasions where I experienced a very tangible, holy fear of God. So I want to share these two stories. You know, there was a property that I had listed and I had sold. And during the escrow, I had shared the gospel one time with the seller. And he didn't want to hear it. So that was it. So fine, I didn't say anything else. Well, I wore this little fish symbol on my jacket. At the end, right a few days before closing the escrow, he came to me and he says, "I'm canceling the escrow because I don't want to pay you your commission. And that God you serve, that's a joke. And he's just, I can't believe you even talk about him. He's a complete lie." And he then mocked God and went on and on. And I tried to warn him not to do that. Well, that right when he did that, a holy fear came over me for him. I thought, man, you do not want to be mocking God like that. That's such arrogance and disrespect for the Creator. And this holy reverential fear came over me.
And it was totally wrong what he was doing to you and the buyers, right?
Right. He was canceling the escrow because he didn't want to pay me. So I said, look, don't cancel the escrow because my buyers already sold their home. They're packed up, ready to go. It's closing in a couple days. And I said, so look, just I won't take the commission then. You don't have to pay me, but don't cancel for their sake. So he agreed and he let it close, but I didn't get paid. Well, 2 days later, he had bought a brand new home in the same city. And 2 days later, I came to work and the broker of my company said, Bill, did you see the front page of the newspaper? I said, no. And it showed a house, brand new house that this person had just purchased. And the house was burned down with him in it. And it was him. And I thought, wow, that fear came over me. Now, it wasn't God that burned that house down. But because he mocked God, I believe God removed his hand of protection.
Yeah, and he just opened himself up to the enemy to attack him and hit him. Wow.
So that was a fearful story. One more to share. There was a man that was an atheist. And I had hired him to do some work on my home. And he had a crushed foot. And so I took him to a healing service. And a pastor laid hands on him. And he was totally healed of his foot that was forever bad. I mean, he was on crutches. And God miraculously healed his foot. I thought he'd get saved immediately. Well, he didn't. And anyway, so after that, I had contracted for him to do some work, and I gave him the $25,000 up front, which was foolish on my part. I gave it to him all up front. But anyway, long story short, he then backed out and decided not to do the work. And I said, well, you have to return my money. And he says, I'm not returning your money. And he says, your God is a joke. And I said, he just healed you of your foot. How could you mock him or not believe in him after you've just received a miracle?
And it's amazing he didn't get saved after that, you know, wanted to know Jesus.
I was shocked. And I said, look, you have to return the money. And he refused. And I sought after him many days. I finally went over to his house. I delivered him a letter demanding that he return the money. He laughed, and he mocked God, and he tore up the letter and ripped it up in pieces and slammed the door in my face. Well, again, that holy fear came over me. And I said to him before he slammed the door, do not do this. You do not want to mock God like this.
I think you said you will not get away with this too, right?
That's right. I said that.
God will not let you get away with this.
And it wasn't the money really that the reason. It was him mocking God.
Yeah, you knew the word of God and what it says.
Right, and God healed him, and now he's mocking him. Well, anyway, that same night, he went out to a nightclub drinking. And he was married and had kids. And he was drunk, and he was walking across the street, and a car ran over him. A drunk driver ran over him and drug him underneath the car for like a mile. And he was he was alive. And that night, the Lord woke me up and said, pray for this man, because Psalms 109 is happening to him. Well, I didn't even know what Psalms 109 said, but I read it, and it said that his kids will become vagabonds. He'll end up losing his life, and his wife will leave him, and all these horrible things. And I prayed that his life would be spared. Well, he did live, but he was a wreck. His wife left him. His kids became broke, and he lost his business, and everything went wrong with
him. Wow, how horrible.
So, again, it was because he mocked God.
Tragedy, yes, exactly. That would put a fear of God on you.
Right.
You know, Hebrews 12:21 states that when Moses was in God's presence, he said, I exceedingly fear and quake. And Hebrews 11:7 states that Noah was moved with fear and he prepared the ark.
Right. So if you got Moses and Noah fearing God, and more us.
Exactly. And then, of course, Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So if we want to be wise, we will fear God.
Right. You know, in just a couple of verses that point out about that sudden destruction that came upon the two people, you know, Proverbs 29:1 and Proverbs 6:15 mention suddenly, they shall be suddenly destroyed, and that without remedy. So there's some scripture and many more that point that out, that they can be destroyed without remedy. And
yes,
suddenly, it happens.
And also, you know, God comes to people over and over and tries to warn them throughout their life and trying to flag them down. It's interesting, the Proverbs 29:1, I remember that verse says, he who is often rebuked, you know, and doesn't heed the rebuke,
right,
is suddenly destroyed without remedy.
Right. And I warned them both.
Yes, that was a rebuke.
I warned them, don't do this. You don't realize what could happen. And again, it wasn't God that did it, but they opened themselves up to the attack of the enemy.
And their spiritual laws, because God said it in his word. He is not mocked.
Right. That's right. And Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whoever breaks a hedge, a serpent will bite. Well, they broke a hedge for
sure. That's good.
You know, and secondly, the second reason we serve God is we serve the Lord because we love him and are extremely grateful for what he has done for us. You know, when Jesus died for our sins, was buried and rose from the dead, he delivered us from hell and Satan's power. He gave us eternal life. He redeemed us from sickness and disease. His blood washed away our sin, guilt, and shame. He gave us his Spirit to live inside of us, the Holy Spirit, which guides us and comforts us and strengthens us. Now, he is so good to us, and he will never leave or forsake us, and loves us unconditionally. And the list could go on and on.
That's such a great point. We love him, yes, because he first loved us. You know, that's what 1 John 4:19 says. And Revelation 1:5 states, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And of course, we love this verse, Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And Psalms 86:5 says, for you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all who call upon you. And who hasn't needed mercy from God many times?
All of us.
All of us. And he paid the price that we deserve, which is death and separation from God. When a person truly realizes, Bill, that they are a sinner headed for an eternal hell and need a Savior, they become grateful for what he did for them.
That's right.
And he has proven his love by dying for us. He is the one who gives us our next breath.
So true. You know, you can either be saved by experiencing his goodness, as Romans 2:4 states, or through the fear of being cast into hell, as Jude 23 states. You know, Jesus told us he is the only way of salvation, and sadly, many people say they don't believe him. This is why he said in Matthew 12:37 that a person's own words will condemn them to hell. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. So we as Christians do fear God as any rational person should. However, it's not a dreadful fear, but a respect, honor, and reverential fear of the one who created us. You know, Jesus referenced hell in 46 separate verses. Also, the Old Testament and its many authors referenced hell in many verses. And there are at least 150 verses in the Bible about hell.
And hell, Bill, hell scares the wise person, but sadly not the simple. As the scripture says in Proverbs 15:24, it states that the way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath.
That's right.
And submission to God is a willing submission because we know he loves us and he wants the best for us. He is a good God who is always endeavoring to guide us on the right path and the best path for our life. His plan is best for us, but we must yield to him and seek him so we can discover that plan. Obeying God is not slavery, but it's freedom.
Oh, so true. You know, some atheists say that the Christians are gullible and out of fear fall prey to this fire and brimstone belief. Well, the Bible has been under scrutiny for thousands of years and has been examined by thousands of scholars, historians, archaeologists, and such, and no valid discrepancies have ever been found. And besides, there were 40 authors who wrote the Bible, and not merely one author. You know, it was written over a 1,500-year period, written on three different continents, in three different languages, and yet there are no discrepancies. Most of the authors didn't know each other, yet all of them wrote about the coming Savior, Jesus Christ. And many of the writers foretold the future about Jesus, and all 300 prophecies were fulfilled by Jesus Christ.
That's amazing. That is a miracle. And I think it's wise to believe such a book rather than believe the ignorant few who have never really investigated it. The gullible are those who believe lies instead of truth. They are deceived and going to hell and don't even know it.
I know, so sad. You know, we can choose to fear God and escape hell, or choose to walk in unbelief and arrogance. In doing so, we send ourselves to hell.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to leave us a rating or comment. We value your feedback. Stay in touch and learn more about this ministry by visiting us at soulchoiceministries.org.